All right, everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, the Monday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Dahl, Dylan Lark hanging out here with you. It's pretty clear what we're going to talk about today. It is the commitment of quarterback Peyton Thorne to the Auburn Tigers, transferring in from Michigan State. It's a huge addition for Auburn and Hugh Freeze through the portal. We're going to dive into what this means for the Tigers today. And we're probably going to play a couple different games, just kind of talking about Auburn's schedule moving forward. And then I don't have any notes for this, but I do want to dive into something that Dylan and I were just talking about before we went on air with Big Game Boomer. So if you've not subscribed to the podcast already on YouTube, please go ahead and do so. If you're following us on the podcast feed, that would be great there as well. Make sure to leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening on podcast on top of that. So Dylan, without further ado, let's just go ahead and dive into it. So Michigan State transfer quarterback Peyton Thorne committed to Auburn over the weekend. Where were you when Peyton Thorne committed? Because I was in a bathroom in Culver's.
I was actually packing up to go see my girlfriend for the weekend. And as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, well, dadgummit. Threw my stuff down on the couch, made the graphic, put it up, made a reaction video, put that up, and then I was able to leave. Thinking about, holy crap, what just happened?
I was in no position to break any sort of news, but at least the food was good at Culver's. So Peyton Thorne, like we mentioned, big-time quarterback at Michigan State, set a couple of records, actually, at Michigan State. Former 3-star quarterback in the 2019 class, has been the starter for the Spartans the past two seasons in 2021. He had a really, really good year in 2022, took a bit of a step back, but overall, this is a kid that I think immediately makes Auburn's quarterback room better and should be right out the gate the projected starter. 3,232 yards and 27 touchdowns in his first season with the Spartans. 49 total passing touchdowns and 24 interceptions over the course of 29 games at Sparty. Dylan, kind of take me through your initial thoughts on Auburn's gain here.
Yeah, so I talked about it on the last installment of my College Loop episode where I was like, what does he bring to the team? And it's sustainability at quarterback, something that Auburn really hasn't probably seen since Jarrett Stidham. And he's already doing leagues better than a few last quarterbacks because this guy is recruiting wide receivers to the Tigers without really doing anything. I think he's doing less than Walker White is recruiting-wise because he's just standing there and wide receivers are like, you know what? Maybe Auburn's a good landing spot for me. Because right now, Auburn finally has a quarterback that can make any throw on the field at any given time who might be a little sneaky athletic from what I'm hearing from some anonymous Big Ten defensive coordinators on Twitter. But yeah, it's huge. And I think this is the exact piece that Auburn has been wanting and has needed for the longest time.
This is one of those players that whenever they land on your team, it immediately for your upcoming season changes your win total. I mean, I think it quite literally, if he doesn't get injured, knock on wood, this literally changes Auburn's trajectory, I think, versus what they had in their quarterback room, which I want to be clear, Robbie Ashford is still going to compete for the starting quarterback job. How long Hugh Freeze lets that last in fall camp is yet to be determined, but Ashford is still going to compete as the incumbent guy here, at least, so to speak. He's the incumbent guy. So like I mentioned, Thorne set some records at Michigan State, single season records for total yards, total touchdowns, and passing touchdowns. He ranks 5th in career total touchdowns, 5th in career total yards, 4th in career passing touchdowns, and 3rd in single season passing yards. All those numbers at Michigan State, very, very solid. Bumping up there or surpassing Connor Cook in a lot of those categories. So very solid career, 2-year career at Michigan State. If he had 2 more years, which he has 2 years of eligibility left, I'm sure that he would have broken a lot more records if the Spartans had kept him around. Apparently, there was a lot of things going on at Michigan State to kind of lead to his transfer initially. There's some things going on within the program with different players leaving and some frustrations with Thorne having some frustrations with different things. I don't have all the details. I just know that now that he's here, I think that he's put himself in a really good position to succeed with the talent that Auburn has on roster. And on top of this, Dylan, with some talent that he's going to bring along with him, because immediately following this commitment, Caleb Burton, a former 4-star receiver at Ohio State, committed to the Tigers. They've also got several other receivers that are interested. Jair Shorter of North Texas, Keon Coleman of Michigan State. He's probably the lowest on the list right now in terms of what I would think, in terms of like my opinion on like how likely Auburn is to land him, but he would be a huge get. Former receiver at Michigan State, Keon Coleman. Montana, Lamonius Craig, dope name from Colorado. I mean, Auburn right now, it doesn't necessarily seem like they've got the pick of the litter, but I mean, they are, since his commitment, like really picking things up on the transfer portal trail in terms of what they want to get out of the receiver spot.
Yeah, and you'll kind of, if you add any more of those guys, we already got Caleb Burton, and if you were to get Keon Coleman and Montana, Lamonius Craig, Jair Shorter, how do they add up to the wide receiver room that Auburn has already gotten thus far with Nick Martiner, Camden Brown, Coy Moore, Javarius Johnson? The wide receiver room, I believe, if you were to get maybe one or two more of these guys, becomes a little bit more of a serious topic to talk about rather than what most people are trying to like undermine. Maybe Auburn doesn't have the most talent at their wide receiver room. It could be true. We don't know yet. There's a lot of question marks surrounding that wide receiver room. But if you get like a Keon Coleman, a guy who just led a Power 5 school in receiving yards, Jair Shorter, who had 11 pass receiving touchdowns last season, Montana Lamonius Craig, who just got the Colorado like spring game player of the game not 2 weeks ago, and now he left Deion Sanders, and when you get, and I want to say, if you get Keon Coleman, I believe would probably out of the two probably the most immediate starter, I think, just because his size you can't deny on the field. And teams are going to have to start learning to take Auburn's wide receiver room a little more seriously than they have been in the past few years, because this might be one of the best wide receiver rooms Auburn's had in a hot minute if you were to get any more of these guys.
I think that the offensive philosophy is going to, I think, start to swing in the opposite direction that it has been, or at least where the identity has been for this Auburn team, maybe for their entire program history, which is that this has been a hard-nosed, run-the-football style team. Brian Harsin, obviously, in his first year, kind of started to stray away from that. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that the Tigers just didn't have the offensive line to establish it. This past season, obviously, Auburn ran the ball a lot more because they had to. I think that this year, we are going to see Free start to implement some of the things that we were seeing at Ole Miss and at Liberty, which is, yes, we can be a balanced offense, but this explosive passing attack is probably what you're going to think about first when you think about what a Hugh Freeze, what a Phillip Montgomery offense looks like. So this receiver room, by default, I think is going to have to get better if Hugh Freeze and Montgomery want to do what they apparently want to do with this team, not just now, but moving forward. This right now, I think, is just the starting point of what could be Auburn's offense in the future, which is chucking the ball around, chucking the ball deep. That's something that Thorne did excellently, if that is a word, at Michigan State. He was really, really good on the deep ball. Very nice touch. He had receivers like Keon Coleman and Jaden Reed on the outside who are really, really good playmakers for him. So if you want to get the most out of a guy like Peyton Thorne, if you want to get the most out of your system, which I think Peyton Thorne is a very good system fit, you're going to need to bring in these receivers to kind of help that out. I'm very excited about this commitment, very excited about the receiver room and where it could be going. There's a lot of potential here for the Tigers moving forward with their offense, and I think this season is going to be a lot of fun. Something I want to point out, if I'm not mistaken, Dylan, you can correct me on this, Thorne does have 2 years of eligibility remaining, correct?
Correct, which means he would be the starter for this year and next year, giving Walker White a little bit more time to develop.
Yes, that is if Thorne does not go to the NFL draft, which I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think he's going to do. But if Auburn chooses to do so, they will have a 2-year starter at quarterback, which would be nice. Haven't had one since, well, Bo Nix.
You want to do transfers, Jarrett Stidham?
I was about to say Bo Nix was there for 2 years, but some Auburn fans wanted to act like he wasn't there. Jarrett Stidham, the transfer, it got his 2 years with the Tigers. Hopefully Thorne is able to kind of build on what he's starting here at Auburn and has a solid year too. I know we're projecting out a really long ways, but I think this is a quarterback that can give Auburn, like you said, some sustainability at the quarterback position. So if you have any thoughts on Peyton Thorne's commitment to Auburn, you can leave it in the YouTube comments below. If you're listening on podcast, at the Auburn Daily on Twitter, if you want to tag us and give us your thoughts on this quarterback landing. I want to play a little bit of a game with you, Dylan, about this upcoming season in relation to Peyton Thorne. I want to ask the question, does Auburn have a quarterback edge over every opponent on their 2023 schedule? We're going to dive into that, give our thoughts on it in just a second. Before we do that, though, I want to remind you guys that today's episode is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online is a very difficult thing nowadays. You can just be browsing along, doing your thing, trying to pirate a movie or something like that, and you know, you'll stumble across a virus or two if you're not careful. So NordVPN can keep you safe. It can help you change your IP address, making you harder to track, securing your privacy. And right now, if you check out the link in the description, you can check out a deal that NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers. So again, check out the link in the description today. And thank you so much, NordVPN, for sponsoring today's episode. All right, Dylan, I want to play a bit of a game here with you. So like I mentioned, the 2023 schedule, I mean, I said it at the top, this is a game-changing quarterback. This is a win-total-changing quarterback. Looking at this year's schedule, I think that it would be fun if we took a look at every single opponent Auburn has, their starting quarterback or their projected starting quarterback, and ask the question, is Peyton Thorne better? Because I think we're going to find ourselves in a position more often than not where we say, hey, Auburn actually has a quarterback advantage over some really good teams. So let's go ahead and dive into that. I want to start here, obviously, with UMass. They have a couple of options. So I'm not going to attempt to try and pronounce his name. You can attempt to try and pronounce his name if you would like to. It is a previous starting quarterback at Clemson, transferred to Georgia Tech, and is now transferred to the Minutemen. It's Tyson. I don't even want to try and pronounce his last name. It starts with a P. We'll call him Tyson P. He is probably the guy that's the favorite to win the job. You also have Brady Olson, who was a sophomore last season, 2 touchdowns, 8 picks for the Minutemen. And then Western Carolina, Carlos Davis, who had 23 touchdowns and 18 interceptions in 13 games with Western Carolina. I'm going to go out on a limb, Dylan, and say that Auburn has a better quarterback room as a whole and a better quarterback on top with Peyton Thorne than anything the Minutemen have to offer.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that, especially if I looked up on our labs, because that's usually my go-to for depth charts, and give it to Brady Olson. Mm-hmm. If it's Brady Olson, it's for sure. And if it's anyone else on UMass's roster, I would also say it's for sure. Yeah, I'd give the very, very large edge to Peyton Thorne.
I think it's kind of weird that week two, Auburn's traveling to Cal to go play. It's just kind of weird that that's the schedule. Congratulations this year. Playing a Pac-12 team, not at a neutral site, on the road, and it's not week one. The projected starting quarterback that I have for the Golden Bears is Sam Jackson V. He was a third-string quarterback for TCU last season, transferred into the program. I believe he's expected to start 64 yards rushing, 63 yards passing in garbage time. Bit of a dual threat. If I'm not mistaken, he's a former four-star QB. He's somebody that I can see giving Auburn some trouble, considering it's early in the year, and he's somebody that can run around a little bit and kind of break contain. But I think that Peyton Thorne, just on paper, is better than this guy. And I don't want to take away from anybody's potential, because you know Jackson's not had the opportunity to really play yet. But I mean, if we're comparing systems here, I would argue that Auburn probably is going to be able to move the ball a little bit more effectively than Cal, and that's putting it gently.
Yeah, I mean, Cal has been a defensive team the past couple of years anyways. And just because Sam Jackson was a third string and at 5'11", 185, he is going to be a little bit of a wiry guy to grab a hold of. But, yeah, passing-wise, I would give it to Peyton Thorne easy over Sam Jackson.
Samford has actually a pretty decent quarterback. Michael Ayers, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. Completed 76% of his passes, 36 touchdowns, only 4 picks last season for the Bulldogs. He played, if you go and watch this kid's film, he's listed at 6'1", 210. And if you just Google his name, it's like he's the Josh Allen of the FCS. I'm like, how can you be Josh Allen at 6'1", 210? Go watch this kid play. He plays a lot bigger than what his size actually is. He's just he just looks big. Every bit of 6'1 out there, apparently. Samford really apparently liked to throw the ball downfield last year. I mean, they were just in every single highlight reel I saw. They were just chucking that thing as far as they could. And the weird part about it, Dylan, it's not like they were just like missing on some throws and just waiting for the bomb. You know, Michael Ayers completed 76% of his passes. I mean, he was connecting on a lot of them. It was a really good Samford offense last year. So I think that when you look at this kid's numbers, you look at what he's done, you look at how he plays, I think he's a solid FCS quarterback. I think he's a very good FCS quarterback. When you're looking at arm talent, when you're looking at the decision-making, when you're looking at the accomplishments, I think that the fact that Thorne has played against significantly more difficult competition and I think overall is probably a little bit more of a talent than Michael Ayers. I think you have to give the nod to Thorne, but this is no disrespect to Ayers, who is a very good quarterback in his own right.
Yeah, and it's I don't want to say it's comparing apples to oranges, but it kind of feels like it just because that's the level of talent they're playing against on a weekly basis. But yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head with that one. Shout out to Michael for being a great FCS quarterback, but Samford does tend to give some teams trouble, so Auburn should not overlook them in the slightest. But if I had to give an edge, I'd give it to Peyton Thorne.
At Texas A&M, which is the road game there, fourth game of the season on the 23rd, Connor Wegman is going to be the starter most likely for them. They've also got Max Johnson, who should be quarterback number two, transfer from LSU. It's weird considering Johnson has a touchdown interception ratio of 38-7 on his career. It's weird that that's the backup for an anemic offense. I mean, that's just weird to say. And then you've also got Marcel Reed, who's a freshman. I believe Auburn was interested in him. Ole Miss originally had his commitment from Reed. I think overall on paper, this is a good quarterback room. This is a really solid quarterback room on paper, just based on numbers and star ranking alone. But we don't know what's going to happen with Bobby Petrino. We don't know what's going to happen with Jimbo Fisher. So I would give the nod to Wegman just based on how he played. In his limited time last year, 8 touchdowns, no picks, which is really surprising to say for such a bad offense in several games where Wegman had to go on the road. So maybe they do find a way to turn it around with him. But, yeah, I don't think that any of them are better than Thorne.
Yeah, I'd agree. Just because, again, if you want to go based off like talent, maybe Wegman could have him beat by potential talent because we've Peyton Thorne's played longer. But I think when it comes to the scheme, I don't think Wegman or literally any other quarterback could probably perform well in a Bobby Petrino-led offense. And I think Texas A&M might be on their way out of being in West contention for a few more years because I think a certain head coach in College Station might be on the hot seat very, very soon. So, yeah, Peyton Thorne, I put over Connor Wegman.
A lot of money that's going to be delegated, I think, to one person in Aggie land here in the coming years. Carson Beck is the projected starter at Georgia. This guy's been a backup for I think 22 years now with the Bulldogs. I think that's the number there. He is going to likely be the starter over Brock Vandergriff and Gunnar Stockton. It doesn't really matter who wins the job here. I mean, if we're talking about scheme and position, Georgia's going to put any quarterback that they have out there in the best position to win. This is not a DeJuan Mathis 2020 situation. I think that this is a much different roster and a much different scheme. How the team operates now without Todd Monken is going to be interesting, but I think Carson Beck's probably going to take the cake in this individual game and on the season over Thorne.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I feel like I'm going to be a little edgy and people are going to call me a little biased. I still think that Georgia can put anybody in at quarterback. This is back when Alabama used to put like AJ McCarron and Greg McElroy in. I never really thought they had the edge over anybody at quarterback. It was just that team was just so loaded that didn't really matter as long as a person could make the throws that need to be made. So I would say Thorne over Beck, but I think this is going to be a game where Beck's going to probably play better than Thorne just because that Georgia team is just so stacked from head to toe. So I'd say Thorne's a better quarterback, but I'd say Georgia has the edge in the game.
That's fair. That's fair. I think that that's also a really interesting game to look at for the Tigers, you know, that being a, you know, middle of the season, at home for Auburn. I understand that it's probably going to be a beatdown in a way that Auburn fans don't like. But if I'm not mistaken, Hugh Freeze has a pretty solid track record against Kirby Smart. And I do remember one game in particular, like I want to say it was 2016, where blood was shed in Oxford, Mississippi, whenever the Bulldogs came to town. So we've got LSU on October 14th. I believe that's after the bye week, the game after the bye week. Jaden Daniels, the starter here. I don't think there's any question. I don't think there's any question. This is probably one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. Probably the second best, third best, depending on who you ask. Daniels is one of the more solid QBs in this conference, and I think he's going to be good again.
Yeah, I think I'd rate Jaden Daniels either two or three on my list as well. And Auburn has to play the guy who's either both guys who are in my top three, is all three guys in my top three in the SEC. But yeah, Jaden Daniels, next level talent. And I got to be honest, right after him, Max, I'm forgetting his last name. And it's a weird one. I think LSU is pretty stacked at quarterback. And I think their backup quarterback might be a top 14 SEC quarterback in and of itself.
Are you saying, do you mean Garrett Nussmeier, or are we thinking
of something? Nussmeier, sorry. Max Johnson came to mind because he used to play at LSU. But yeah, Garrett Nussmeier is also a really good quarterback.
October 21st, Spencer Sanders, Jackson Dart, Walker Howard. Who do you think is going to be the starter here?
I have no idea in this soap drama that is the Ole Miss quarterback room, where you have three guys who all want that starting job, and I guess Lane Kiffin hasn't told any of them who's going to start because all three of them are still on the roster, which if you told me that, I would not have believed you in February. But if I had to put my finger on one, I'd probably give the edge to Dart. And again, I'm going to say this. I think Thorne's better than all three.
Okay.
I was not impressed with Jackson Dart. I think he's just a Lane Kiffin level quarterback where he just kind of has the ego that carries him. But overall, I think that Quinshon Judkins is that offense and Jackson Dart just lives in it.
Yeah, I was. That's something that I wrote at Auburn Daily, is I think Kiffin could put any of these guys out there and make them look good. I mean, they're going to put up numbers. You know, Dart didn't put up great ones last year because, like you said, Ole Miss realized what talent that they had in the backfield and they decided to run the ball a lot. I mean, they brought in, Zach Evans. I think they brought in a transfer running back from SMU as well. That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. On top of that, they had a loaded running back room, and I think they're going to have another one this year. And it doesn't really matter who the QB is. I think he's going to look fine. Is he better than Peyton Thorne if you put him in a different system? Like you said, I'm not quite sure. In this individual game, I also think that Thorne's probably going to have better numbers. It's at home for Auburn. It's going to be a rowdy environment. This is the Lane Kiffin Hugh Freeze Bowl. It's weird how many ties Auburn and Ole Miss now have together. It's a shame they almost had two of their previous coaches within the span of like 3 or 4 months there, with Kiffin just backing out at the last minute. But this should be a fun game, and I think it's going to be one that Thorne takes advantage of. Mississippi State is the next game. Will Rogers, one of the best in the SEC, 82 touchdowns, 24 picks over the course of 35 games. His numbers, this is what I wrote at Auburn Daily, his numbers aren't going to tank, I don't think, at Mississippi State, because I still think he's a very good quarterback. But now that Mississippi State's probably going to be moving away from an air raid type of system, they're probably going to go down a little bit, but that does not take away from the fact that this is still a very good QB.
Yeah, and when I talked about who would interchange between Jaden Daniels, it's Will Rogers. He's either I'd probably have to do like one, a guy we're going to talk about in a little bit, two, and it's like tied to Jaden Daniels, Will Rogers. Because Will Rogers is – Mississippi State has had a weird run where they've not had the success on the football field, but they've had the quarterbacks. Talk about like Dak Prescott level. And Nick Fitzgerald was even good for a little bit for the for the Bulldogs. But Will Rogers has probably been better than both of them. Passing wise, because he was like the, he's like the perfect. I know Gardner Minshew was really good, but Will Rogers is probably the perfect air raid Mike Leach, may God rest his soul, quarterback that we've ever seen. And I hate that nothing hurt me more than when Mike Leach passed, because Will Rogers was going to definitely break that career passing yards in the SEC, and he still has two more years of eligibility left in his career.
He's got an opportunity to do it for sure. And I think Mississippi State is going to be in good hands with him under center in shotgun moving forward, I can only assume. Vanderbilt is the next game up. A.J. Swan, the projected starting quarterback. Is A.J. Swan better than Peyton Thorne?
You know, I think A.J. Swan gets a lot of flack for being a Vanderbilt quarterback, but I think right now I'd have to give a Thorne just an edge, but I would not be shocked if midseason I was like, I think AJ Swan's a better quarterback than a lot of, than like a top half of the SEC, just because he did not make mistakes. That's something we don't see from Vanderbilt quarterbacks, especially since who was that one quarterback they had for the longest time?
Kyle Shurmur.
Kyle Shurmur, yes, he's definitely he's the best quarterback since Kyle Shurmur. And I think looking at it, I think with Clark Lee finally getting some quality recruits coming to Vanderbilt, I think AJ Swan could be a quarterback we're going to be talking about for the next 3 years as a very high contender and as one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC.
Kyle Shurmur threw 64 touchdowns to 29 picks. Really solid ratio there. He is now an offensive quality control coach for the Buffalo Bills. I remember watching this kid and just thinking, like, it looks like if the wind blew too hard, he would fall over. But he eventually rounded into form and was a very solid quarterback for the Commodores there for a few seasons. You know, respect to Kyle Shurmur, respect to Vanderbilt's quarterback now, AJ Swan. Like you said, not turnover prone, good decision maker. I want to see him play against a little bit better competition, better than what he did last year. But he was a freshman. He's gonna develop. He's gonna get better there. So you've got Vanderbilt, Arkansas, KJ Jefferson. I looked at KJ Jefferson's numbers, man, and it is way better than I expected initially. 48 passing touchdowns, 19 rushing touchdowns, 65.5% completion percentage, and over 7,200 total yards over the course of his career. He may be the best QB in the SEC. He's definitely one of them. I think you're probably going to see a lot of preseason All-SEC people vote either him or Will Rogers into this top spot here. Jaden Daniels, like I mentioned earlier, is in contention for this as well. But Jefferson, is he better than Peyton Thorne?
Oh, for sure. And I think Hayden Jefferson is if it wasn't for Bryce Young, he would have been the best quarterback in SEC last year before mm-hmm. Hendon Hooker did what Hendon Hooker does best. And that's proving all the doubters wrong. But with KJ Jefferson, I think, he does everything that you want a quarterback his size to do well. He throws the ball deep and accurately. He will run you over. And last season was kind of a down year for him because he got injured a lot and Arkansas wasn't the best just because of injuries just piled up. But Raheem Sanders is back still, and they have their star running back. But unlike Ole Miss, you have your star running back, and your quarterback can also take the ball and handle it well too. But my thing with Arkansas is they might have a down year statistically, not because of KJ Jefferson, but because they lost Kendall Briles to TCU. So it'll be an interesting year for sure. But if I had to off of what I've seen and what I know, I'd put KJ Jefferson over Peyton Thorne.
So you've got New Mexico State before you play Alabama. The projected starting quarterback for that team is Diego Pavia. Is the name there. We talked about him for a second before we went on air. That's because according to everyone's favorite social media influencer, Big Game Boomer, he tweeted out the top 50 quarterbacks entering the 2023 season, and Diego Pavia is number 50 on this list. I want to pause for a second and note, if I'm not mistaken, that Peyton Thorne is not on this list. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dylan, but I want to go and just kindly throw out Diego Pavia's statistics from 2022. 1,450 passing yards over the course of 12 games. He threw 13 touchdowns to 6 picks. He ran for a little over 500 yards and had 6 rushing touchdowns. In what world is that the 50th best quarterback in college football? I don't know.
Yeah, you got me there. Nothing about him screams top 50, maybe top 100, but top 50, I would definitely say no. And Big Game Boomer, I don't know what he's on, because if you look at some of these other names on here, I don't want to sound biased, but I definitely wouldn't put DJ Uiagalelei, John Rhys Plumlee, Cade McNamara,
Donovan Smith.
Donovan Smith. I wouldn't put Dante Moore up there quite yet.
Yeah.
We haven't seen what he can do. A lot of these guys, Jackson
Jeff Darts, Sims, Connor Wegman.
Yeah. And guys we haven't seen play yet. I brought up Dante Moore. Drew Aller, we have not really seen him outside of spring games. He did not play very much last year.
Respectfully, Curtis Rourke is not better than Peyton Thorne. I'm sorry.
And then you also have people like JJ McCarthy, who I think is probably getting a little too much hype because I think he's suffering from success of that Michigan offense.
Curtis Rourke is good. His brother was better, but I'm sorry, he's not better than Peyton Thorne, and he's not better than a lot of these quarterbacks that are underneath him. Well, yeah, big game boomer, always on something is probably his motto there. So, final quarterback here, the Alabama Crimson Tide. You have a very interesting opinion on this. Tyler Buckner is, I guess, the projected starter through more picks than touchdowns as a backup at Notre Dame. Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson, two very highly rated recruits that are also in this quarterback room. I see you sitting up, gearing up for this take. Oh, man. So Buckner, I think full stop, is not better than Peyton Thorne. No, he's not. He may be a better runner, may be a better athlete. He's not a better passer, and he sure as heck is not a better decision maker than Peyton Thorne is. And I'm not saying Peyton Thorne's an elite decision maker. I'm just sitting here telling you, if you swapped these two quarterbacks from, if you gave Auburn Buckner and you gave Alabama Peyton Thorne, I think that Peyton Thorne would put up ridiculous numbers in comparison to what Buckner may do for them this season. Ty Simpson, Jalen Milroe, because they have so much upside, I would need to be sold on why Peyton Thorne's better than them. I think as a room, Alabama has a better quarterback room than Auburn does. But Peyton Thorne, I definitely think, takes the cake over one individual, Tyler Buckner.
I would say that Peyton Thorne takes the edge over three Bama quarterbacks, and that would be Ty Simpson, Jalen Milroe, and Tyler Buckner. I think Auburn missed out on Tyler Buckner, but accidentally swung for it, missed, got a strike, and second pitch, hit a home run. And I think you took a good eye, actually, taking the strike, because the next ball was perfect. Because I wasn't a huge fan of Tyler Buckner whenever I watched him. And he did end up losing his job. I can't remember the quarterback's name. He transferred out because Sam Hartman's now there. But it was enough to where when Tyler Buckner stayed, they didn't really trust him quarterback enough. So they got Sam Hartman. So immediate upgrade. Milroe, from what I saw from last year, it was not good. It was very much not good. And I think he was very comparable to Robbie Ashford. And I think, honestly, on the field wise, I couldn't tell you if Jalen Milroe is a better quarterback than Robbie Ashford or not. Could not tell you. Give Robbie Ashford a healthy shoulder, I think they'd perform the exact same. And Ty Simpson, there's a reason he's been behind Milroe all these years. It's got to be. It's 2 years, I think, he's been the backup or third string for Alabama. But yeah, I think in the state of Alabama, the best quarterback in the state resides in Auburn, Alabama, with Peyton Thorne. And whether that Carter Bradley in Mobile might be good, might be better, he could be. He has more experience at his school. Gunnar Watson, I don't really know. But I'd take Peyton Thorne over all of them.
Couple of things here to note about Jalen Milroe, who is the guy that I continue to get caught up on. You compare him to Robbie Ashford, which is really interesting. I can understand where you're coming from for the room as a whole. Jalen Milroe, his comp in high school was Josh Dobbs. I don't think he throws like Josh Dobbs. I'm sorry. That's not a great comparison there. Maybe it's the mentality and I don't know. But in his lone start against Texas A&M, three touchdowns, passing touchdowns, one interception, he had 81 yards on the ground. If I'm not mistaken, he fumbled once in that game. He might have fumbled twice. I think he actually did have as many turnovers as touchdowns in that game. I think the decision-making will get better if he has the opportunity to be Alabama starting quarterback. He was averaging 8.5 yards per carry over the course of just a few games for the Crimson Tide against some decent competition. What he looks like in an entire season, I think, is interesting. From a passing standpoint, I don't think he's better than Peyton Thorne. From an athleticism standpoint, he may be one of the best in the SEC. He's a really good athlete. But is he a quarterback, a really good one? I don't know. I think that's an interesting take to say that Jalen Milroe is worse than Peyton Thorne. I think the numbers back up Peyton Thorne right now. I think the passing numbers back up Peyton Thorne. But I really do think that Milroe still has a lot of upside. Also, something else to note. He has switched his number three times over the course of his career at Alabama. He's been 2, 15, and 4 already for Alabama, which is interesting. So overall, Dylan, I think that you and I can agree Auburn is in a much better position than they were just a couple of months ago with their quarterback room. And heading into 2023 with Peyton Thorne, I think is going to give them a decisive edge over some and then a clear edge over others that they did not have an advantage over before they got Peyton Thorne.
Yeah, and if I had to look at the SEC as a whole, I don't know how I'd rank Peyton Thorne, but I'd probably have him in my top six or seven because, you know, Joe Milton also exists. I'd probably put Spencer Rattler up above him. But I got to be honest, Peyton Thorne's way higher than I would have had a lot of other guys in the SEC because you're giving him Auburn-level talent that he didn't have at Michigan State. You're giving him a better offensive line. Mm-hmm. We don't know what his numbers would have been had the big boys up front, all five of them, actually played as an offensive line should and not let everyone sack him. So if Peyton Thorne can put trust behind this newly revamped offensive line, get a couple more talented wide receivers in the mix as well. And Jarquez Hunter is Jarquez Hunter. This offense could be way better than what people are saying it could be. Auburn, I've said it several times, if Auburn get their guy at quarterback, 9 wins, 10 wins easy. And I got to be honest, Auburn at home in the Iron Bowl, that game's going to be really interesting. It's going to be really interesting with Peyton Thorne at quarterback.
I think you and I are probably going to have a conversation about Alabama extensively at some point over the summer, just because I think there has to be right now. I know it's talking season, whatever. Cool. I think there has to be a conversation about what's going on in Alabama from an Auburn fan's perspective. That's not like a, we're going to beat them by 50. Bama's falling apart at the seam. Saban's going to quit next year. It's no more roll tide. We need to have like a legitimate conversation. Like what is actually happening at Alabama right now? Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I could definitely say this Iron Bowl being like 2019 level Iron Bowl. Mm-hmm.
With the way that they've been playing on the road, with the way that they've struggled at positions they normally don't, with their inability to win a national championship with a Heisman winning quarterback. I'm curious to see what Alabama looks like this year, and not just in Auburn's road game, but in all road games that they have. I mean, even the game against Texas week two, Ole Miss week four, you've got Kentucky, I believe, on the road in November. That's not going to be an easy win with Devin Leary at the helm. I mean, this is a really interesting season. Could be shaping up to be a really interesting season for Bama.
Tennessee at home as well, and Tuscaloosa.
That's going to be a fun game.
It's always going to be a fun game with Josh Heupel leading the helm in Tennessee now.
Yes, sir. So if you've got any thoughts on Peyton Thorne, Auburn's quarterback room, how they shape up against their schedule this season, you can leave all that in the comments below. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. You can follow Dylan and I on Twitter at YaBoyTheTank, at Lance_. Follow the show on Twitter at The Auburn Daily. Check us out over on Facebook as well. Subscribe and follow wherever you're watching or listening today. We will see you all tomorrow for another episode of The Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.